0-1. Hit sharply up the middle on one hop, fielded by Gonzalez behind second, throws to first, and that is the ball game.
Welcome to another Astros podcast.
The Houston Astros take 2 out of 3 from the Seattle Mariners, winning this afternoon 8-1.
Well, it's a very entertaining baseball game. You look at Colin McHugh, 6 shutout innings with 10 strikeouts, 4 errors by the Mariners, and a lot of clutch hitting, including 4 hits from Altuve, a 2-run homer in the 3rd inning, and a grand slam by Carlos Gomez. The Astros get on that airplane feeling pretty good about themselves winning 2 out of 3 on the road here.
Welcome back. Robert Ford joined by Astros manager A.J. Hinch. Astros winning 2 out of 3 in Seattle after picking up the win over the Mariners yesterday. And it was a game that was really blown open by that grand slam of Carlos Gomez. Before that, it was a pretty competitive game before that point.
Yeah, it was a weird game because we had walked so many guys. We also turned a ton of double plays. We didn't really take advantage of our early opportunities. Altuve hits the 3-0 homer. And then we end up separating ourselves a little bit. They hang in the game. We get out of a few jams, and then Gomez with the big blow with the grand slam. So really weird game where you give them a lot of free passes. You end up turning 5 double plays. I think we only had 5 or 6 outs that weren't strikeouts or double plays. And wouldn't have anticipated that kind of game, but a good series win for us, at a AL West team on the road.
And you look at Carlos Gomez, he was really struggling early part of the year, better after coming off the DL. And, I mean, you see him have a grand slam like he did the other day. It just kind of shows you how difficult it is to take him out of the lineup, even when he is struggling, because you know what he's capable of.
Yeah, it's hard. He's impactful, and he does play with energy. He gets very frustrated with himself. Yesterday he played very angry and took it out on the ball a little bit. It hasn't gone his way in July the way it did in June. The All-Star break came at a good time physically for him, but it also probably set him back a little bit in getting his rhythm back. But he does find ways to impact games. I know it's frustrating for him that he's not doing things on a regular basis, but that type of impactful performance is exactly why it's difficult to take him out, because he can do that any given at bat.
You mentioned the 5 double plays. The biggest beneficiary of that was Colin McHugh. Wound up throwing 6 shutout innings. Got out of 2 bases loaded in less than 2 out situations and pitched well enough, well, better than well enough to give you a chance to win with 6 shutout innings.
Yeah, it's tough. He pitched himself onto the edge where he bent quite a bit. He didn't break. And he came up with big pitches. He got a couple strikeouts with runner on third and the bases loaded. He got the big double plays. And you look up and you're saying 6 scoreless. It didn't feel like a 6 scoreless type outing for him, but he handed the ball to the bullpen with a big lead and exited the game having done his job. He did it in a creative way that's hard to replicate, but really proud of his effort.
Jose Altuve, 4 for 5. You mentioned the home run, and I know he's not the biggest fan of DHing. You've talked in the past about how you've had to talk him into DHing, but he's hitting .476 in the 6 games in which he's DH, so I guess it hasn't affected his bat at all.
No, I think his routine is all that's really messed up. He's fine with DHing. He and I have a nice banter about it. It's important for his body to take care of himself physically. He needs to have a 10 or 12 or 15 DH game season and maybe a day or two off, and that's about it. He can go forever. But I love when he comes up to bat. He obviously can rest a little bit, but he does impact the game, and it's hard to take his bat completely out of the lineup. And so I told him his choices when it comes to that are not play or play a half a game like a DH is, and he usually chooses the DH part.
AJ Hinch, thanks for joining us.
You got it.
Back with more of Astro Launch right after this.
The following Minute of Astros History featuring Larry Durker is brought to you by Minute Maid. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out. Here's Dirk.
July 18, 2001 was a pitcher's nightmare at Enron Field. Roy Oswalt and the Cardinals' Mike Matthews got hammered. Oswalt gave up 8 runs and Matthews 6. Jeff Bagwell started with an RBI single. In the 5th, he led off with a double off Luther Hackman and then blasted a 2-run home run later in the inning, giving the Astros a 14-8 lead. Starter Andy Benes came in from the beleaguered Redbird bullpen. When Bagwell came up in the 7th, he needed a triple to hit for the cycle, and he got the triple. He got the cycle. No, this was no night for Moundsman, except for Octavio Dotel, who struck out 4 and gave up no runs in the 17-11 victory.
Thanks, Dirk. Minute Maid believes that whether it's families or juice, when you put good in, you get good out. That's why you can count on Minute Maid to deliver delicious, refreshing goodness in every sip. Minute Maid, put good in, get good out.
Welcome back to Astro Launch, everybody. I have hard-throwing right-handed pitcher Michael Feliz with me today as our guest, and Michael, it's been quite a ride for you this year. You've pitched great. Are you having a lot of fun this year?
Oh, yeah, you know, I have a lot of fun. This is maybe my first year or my full years in Big League. I have a lot of fun. I enjoy it a lot.
And you're learning a lot, too, it looks like, because every game it seems like you're getting better. And who's most helpful for you? Who teaches you a lot?
I mean, every time when I go to the game, I try to learn something different, you know. I mean, I have a few veteran players in the bullpen that I can learn from them. And I just kept watching them, what are they working on, and try to learn from them.
And you've been a starter your whole career. What's the hardest part about being a reliever? Just warming up differently?
At the beginning of the year, it was hard for me, like warming up when they come right after. But now I can warm it up like better and more quicker.
It seems like, to me, you have 6 wins. So it seems like you're the good luck charm for the team, because when you go in there, the team scores runs. And I'm curious, what happened after your first win as a major leaguer this year? Did they take you in the shower and pour stuff on you?
Yeah. After my first win, they take me in the shower and throw me on me like shampoo, milk, hot sauce, everything.
Did it take a long time to get it off?
No, it was like 5 minutes, and then they turned music and dancing a little bit, and it was fun.
Now that you've been in the major leagues a little bit, Michael, what's your favorite city that the team goes to?
I think my favorite city is here in San Francisco.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. I like to walk around, go to this place, sometimes buy something, like shoes, something like that. I enjoy it when I go to the mall and buy different stuff.
And after the season, do you go back home to the Dominican Republic?
Yeah, right after I'm going back to Dominican Republic, and I take like 2 weeks off, and then I start getting ready for the next year.
Are you going to play winter ball for Lice again?
I mean, I would like to play, because I want to develop a little bit my pitch for the next year, you know, but I got to wait for they make it any decision.
The fastball's there and the slider's there, and you always want to improve, but what's the third pitch? Is it going to be the changeup, or are you going to throw a split finger? What's that third pitch going to be for you?
I would like to improve my changeup, and I would like to get another pitch, like two seam or little quarter, you know. But I would talk with them and go there, see if they let me play for development another pitch.
Got 2.5 more months of this season. You feel pretty strong right now?
Oh yeah, I feel pretty strong. Like I'm going to start right now. I'm ready to go for the whole years. I work hard before the season, prepare my body, my mentality for the whole season.
There you go. That's Michael Feliz. Thanks for joining us, and keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Back with more Astro Launch right after this.
Robert Ford, Steve Sparks, on your radio, the Houston Astros Radio Network.
1-2 from Benoit. It's a fastball high and away, and it's an even count.
Saw Iwakuma try to elevate a fastball with 2 strikes on Reed, and he swung through that one, learned his lesson on that last one from Benoit. Able to lay off and see if he can get a better pitch to go after.
The 2-2 to Reed, high and away. You know, A.J. Reed was telling us yesterday that he was at the county fair during his All-Star break out in Terre Haute, Indiana. He said his wife's family there, they show goats at the county fair there. And not only that, but they win all the time. His wife has won. His brother-in-law has won. His father-in-law, his father-in-law has won as well, showing goats there. 3-2, and it's outside for ball 4, and Reed draws the walk as a pinch hitter. And we asked A.J. Reed, so when it comes to showing a goat at the county fair, what's the key? How do you win? He's like, I have no idea.
Yeah, I was interested. I want to know. I mean, showing animals at fairs and things, I don't know much about that stuff either. I just don't know what differentiates.
Now it's Evan Gattis, who's 1-for-4 with a double. And I have to say, and granted, I'm no county or state fair expert.
I feel like you are.
I am clearly not. First pitch to Gattis, and that's it foul over the screen for strike one. I'm no county or state fair expert, but I believe it's the first time I've ever heard someone mention showing goats at the county fair. You know, you hear about showing horses or showing pigs
or
animals of that nature, but it's the first time I've heard of showing goats at a fair. 0-1 to Gattis. Swing and a miss, blew a fastball by him, and it's nothing in 2.
Do they walk him, you think?
I would think so. I mean, you want to. I mean, I think it's pretty hard to win an event like that if the animal cannot walk. I would imagine. Mm. Yeah, you want to make sure they can at least do that.
What's the noise that a goat makes again? It's a baa, right? B-A-A-A-A, a million times.
Pitch is high to Evan Gaddis. It's 1-2.
Do
I think
they
that's
judge
a
that?
Sheep.
Isn't that's that? A sheep?
I think, what do they call it, a
what
bleat?
Is a what does a goat
it's
do?
Like
is
a bleeding.
It bleat?
Yeah, it's okay. A bleeding. The bleeding of the goat.
I wonder if they judge that as part of the judging process.
That's a good question. We clearly are not knowledgeable about this at all and exposing ourselves. The 1-2. Gaddis lifts this down the right field line, but that'll slice into the seats foul.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do know that the length of stride is a big part of it.
Really?
Yeah, when they're walking them. It's got to be just so. It can't be too long.
I feel like you just made that up. The stride.
Check the gait of the goat. I bet Gaddis knows.
Here comes the 1-2. That's upstairs, 2-2. Well, Gaddis grew up in Dallas-Fort Worth. I don't know that he grew up in like a farming community where they would have that would have been one of those things that would have happened on a regular basis.
I could see him with a few goats. He could get them in line, too.
Visit Astros.com/radio to hear all your favorite players, up-to-date interviews, highlights, and more. Get connected with your Astros at Astros.com/radio.